1. Okay? John 17, verse 1. How do I? These words spoke Jesus and lifted up his eyes to heaven and said, Father, the hour is come. Glorify your Son, that thy Son also may glorify you. As you have given him power over all flesh, that he should give eternal life to as many as thou hast given him. And this is eternal, the life eternal, that they might know you, the only true God, and Jesus Christ whom thou hast sent. I have glorified you on the earth. I have finished the work which you have gave me to do. And now, O Father, glorify thou me and thine own self with the glory which I had with you before the world was. I have manifested your name into the men which thou gave me out of the world. Thine they were, and thou gave them to me, and they have kept thy words. Now they have known that all things whatsoever thou hast given me are of you. For I have given to them the words which you gave to me, and they have received them, and have known surely that I came out from you, and they have believed that thou didst send me. I pray for them. I pray not for the world, but for them which thou hast given me, for they are thine. And all mine are thine, and thine are mine, and I am glorified in them. And now I am no more in the world, but these are in the world. And I come to you, Holy Father, keep through your own name those whom thou hast given me, and they, that they may be one as we are. While I was with them in the world, I kept them in thy name. Those that thou gavest me I have kept, and none of them is lost, but the son of perdition, that the scripture might be fulfilled. And now come I to you, and these things I speak in the world, that they might have my joy fulfilled in themselves. I have given them thy word, and the world has hated them, because they are not of the world, even as I am not of the world. I pray not that thou should take them out of the world, but that thou should keep them from the evil. They are not of the world, even as I am not of the world. Sanctify them through thy truth. Thy word is truth. As thou hast sent me into the world, even so have I also sent them into the world. And for their sakes I sanctify myself, that they also might be sanctified through the truth. Neither pray I for these alone, but for them also which shall believe on me through their word, that they all may be one as thou, Father, are in me, and I in thee, that they also may be one in us, that the world may believe that thou hast sent me. And the glory which thou gavest me I have given them, that they may be one, even as we are one, I in them and thou in me, that they may be made perfect in one, and that the world may know that thou hast sent me and hast loved them as thou hast loved me. Father, I will that they also whom thou hast given me be with me where I am, that they may behold my glory which thou hast given me, for thou lovest me before the foundation of the world. O righteous Father, the world has not known you, but I have known you, and these have known that thou hast sent me. And I have declared to them your name, and will declare it, that the love wherewith thou hast loved me may be in them, and I in them. And all that King James language makes me want to throw up, because it's not what it says, really. If we go back to the first verse now to talk about what he said, it creates a question. He said, these words spoke Jesus and lifted up his eyes. What words did he just speak? Back up to the next chapter, the last chapter. Verse 33, what did he say? Or actually 32, read 32 on, it says, or 31, it says, do you now believe? Behold, the hour comes, and is now come, that you shall be scattered, every man to his own, and shall leave me alone. But I am not alone, because the Father is in the midst of me. These things I have spoken to you, that in me, now notice what he says, that in me you what? I don't know. It says, that you might have peace, right? Well, the word might isn't there. You can just cross that word might out. It's an added word. So what does that change the context of everything said there? Huh? You've got it, see? He said, the reason I'm saying it to you is so you can have it. Not that you might have it. That's a maybe. God didn't do any maybes. He did everything exactly the way it's supposed to be. So he says, that in me, but to get everything, you got to be where? In him. See? It's not having Christ in us, because the whole humanity has Christ inside of them. But when I flip it around and I go inside of him, then he's what's being seen. It's not me any longer. Like Paul said, it's no longer I that live, but it's the Christ in me that lives. We got to turn this thing around. It's not about us. It's about the Christ. And he said, in him you shall have, literally the word says this, you possess. In him you possess peace. Is there any doubt in that? See, if you're in Christ, you possess peace. In the world, you possess what? In the world, it's the Greek word philepsis there for pressure. For tribulation, it means pressure. In the world, you'll have tribulation or pressure. He said, but be of good cheer, or be of good courage, because I have what? Or subdued the, I've already subdued the world. He already took care of it. When he left, what was the last thing he said, Bob? Well then, what do we got to do? We got to believe what he said. Believe whatever he said. See? In him is only one thing, yea and amen. Okay? Now, that's what he just said, and that's why verse 17 starts out the way it does. Chapter 17 starts out the way it does in verse 1. These words spoke Jesus and lifted his eyes to heaven and said, Father, the hour is come. I got to back up and say something else. When he says he lifted his eyes and looked into heaven, that's again King James. It's the word Oranos, which means sky, but it's talking about a higher what? It's a higher realm. He looked into the spirit realm. Where does God live? In the spirit, because God is a spirit. Okay? So he don't live up there somewhere. He lives inside of us in our spirits. Okay? So we don't have to look up there to get God. God's right here, right inside of each one of you. Okay? He said, Father, the hour has come. He said, glorify your son. This word son is weos. It means a mature son. He said, glorify me. I've grown up. I've become mature now. It's time that to do that. In order that your mature son also, and cross out the word may, because that word may is not there either. That's that maybe thing again. John 17, verse 1. That your son also, it should say, that your son also do what? Glorify you. See, we're here for one reason. Tell me what it is. Glorify the Father. See, that's what he's telling you. If I become mature in my walk in God, guess what I'll do? I'll glorify my Father, not me. Jesus never took any credit for anything he did. Did he? Every time someone wanted to give him credit, he said, don't worship me, worship God. I'm just one of your brethren, he said. So Jesus never made himself better than us. He said, I'm just your brother. And according to the book, it says he's our elder brother, right? So we shouldn't be thinking that Jesus was something better than we are, because he was the same as we are. Okay, verse 2. As you have given him power over all flesh, listen to what he said. As you have given him power, and it should read this way, you've given them power. Because the Son is a plural, isn't he? It's a many-membered body. The Son of God is a many-membered body. As you have given them power over what? All flesh. Not just a little bit of flesh, but how much of it? You've got power over all of it. In order that he should give, or they should give, eternal life, and that's the life of the ages, the aeonious life, to all, as says as many as, it's the word pos, it means all, to all that you have given them. Whoever God gave, when Jesus came in the singular person, when Christ came in Jesus and manifested as the Son of God, God gave him how many people? 12. He gave him 12. He said, everything that you gave me, I never lost anything except the one I was supposed to, the son of perdition. But he gave him a certain amount of people. Every son of God has that same thing. It could be one person that God wants you to touch in their lives, or it could be thousands. You see what I'm saying? But God has a purpose for your life to reach to somebody else's life, just like Jesus was. And it was only to glorify the Father. When you touch someone else's life, it's not to say, hey, I won 3 souls to Jesus today. No. It's not to go on TV and say, I led 100,000 to Jesus last night. See, who's that glorifying? It's the self. It's not about God the Father. It's not saying God did anything. It's saying they did it. And that's wrong. They've got the man-centered eye. Okay? In order that he should give the ageless life to as many as you have given them. And this is life eternal. Or this is the life of the ages. Now you better get a hold of this and look, listen to what it says. This is the life of the ages. He's going to tell you something here in this verse. He's going to tell you what the life of the ages is. And so many people read over this, they never get a hold of the fact of what eternal life is. Watch it. He said, this is the life of the ages, that they, cross out the word might again, that word's added, see, absolutely not in the writing, in order that they know you, the one, only true God. Did you hear that? What is the key to eternal life? To know God, the one true God, and Jesus Christ whom thou hast sent. There's the key. You want to know that you have life of the ages? It isn't because you come to an altar someplace and you cried and slobbered and snotted all over a board. That has nothing to do with it. You can be dunked in the creek until you know every crab, tadpole, crawdad, and by the first name basis, and it won't change you. You can sing, you can take communion, you can pray, and it doesn't mean a thing until you know God in your life. That's it. That's all there is to it. What's the whole purpose for Jesus coming? Someone tell me. What was his purpose? To reconcile God and man back together. So all he's trying to do is get us to know who our Father is. Isn't that true? Well, what's the big deal? Why has somebody got to intimidate you to come and meet your Father? Your Father's not mad at you. He wants you to come back to him. Does that sound like a mad person? He loves you so much, he wants you back under any terms. He wants you back. My mind can't even grasp some of those stories they tell. I'm glad it can't. Verse 4. He said, I have glorified you on the earth, and I have finished the work which you gave me to do. Now, if anybody thinks he didn't finish it, then they'd have to call him a liar, wouldn't they? He said, it's finished. Right there he did, didn't he? There's your witness, Bob, to the other place. He absolutely says, I've finished the work. If he finished the work, then we know he's not a failure. When John the Baptist saw Jesus on the morning he baptized him, does anyone can recall what he said to him when he saw him? Behold, the Lamb of God, which comes to do what? Take away the sin of the world. Well, he just said he finished the work he was sent to do, and if he come to take away the sin of the world, why is anybody calling anybody a sinner? I can't, they must not know God, huh? They must not know what God did. Just see, it's so simple if you realize what he said. I finished it. He didn't lie, did he? Oh, my. I hope you're thinking. Quiet, that's why I asked. And verse 5, he goes on and says, and now, O Father, glorify me with yourself with the glory which I possessed with you, not had, but possessed with you before the world existed. The word was should be existed. Before the cosmos existed. He says in verse 6, I have manifested your name, your onoma, your nature, to the humanity which you gave me out of the world. He said, the ones you gave me, I manifested your nature to those men. The word name here means nature and character. So he said, I gave them that character. I showed them that character. See, he just didn't come and say, now I don't want you guys to cheat, lie, steal, commit adultery, fornication. I don't want you doing any of them things. He didn't say that, did he? He come and walked his life out without pointing a finger at anybody. All he did was walked what he talked. He lived the life. He never condemned anyone. Caught a woman in adultery. What did he say to her? He said, woman, where's your accusers? She said, I don't have any. And he said, I don't condemn you either. Go on. Get out of here. See, that's not a God that's trying to throw somebody in hell. That's a God that's trying to reconcile his children back to himself. And it takes somebody with a very closed mind not to be able to see that. Anybody with half of a piece of a mind can see that God loves us so much he's willing to do anything to get us back. Okay? He says after he said that word world, cosmos, he said, thine were, they were, or literally saying, they're yours, and you gave them to me, and they have kept your word. Okay? He said, they were yours, you gave them to me, and they have kept your word. They've been obedient. How would you like God to say something like that about you? You're obedient. I'd rather hear that than anything you could tell me. See? I want to hear Father say those words, well done, thou good and faithful servant. Verse 7, now they have known, the word have known changes it. It puts in a past tense thing, historical thing. Now they know, present tense. There's what the word should be, a present tense word. Now they know that all things whatsoever you have given me are from you. They know it right now. See, if I knew something back then, doesn't mean I know it now, does it? But this is the present tense word. It's right now. They know right now that everything that you've given me came from you. Very important. The only day you have is now. Yesterday's gone and tomorrow will never get here. Okay, verse 8. The word for is gar. It should be because. Because I have given to them the words that you gave to me. There's the problem with the church world. They've never took the time to find out what God said. They get their own opinion and they run with it. Why don't you just sit down and wait? Be still and know that I am God. Didn't the book say that? Just be still. Be anxious for nothing, it says. So why do I feel like I have to go do something? Because the religious realm has told us you got to do. And do is something that shouldn't be in the temple, should it? We know what do is, right? We don't need that in the temple. That stuff needs to be shoveled out by the Pharisees. Okay. We don't have to do that stuff. We just got to let him do what he's got to do. Where am I at in the verse now? Help me. 8? No, I did 7 already. Because I have given to them the words which thou gave to me. That's where I left off. And they have received. The word them shouldn't be there. It's an added word too. And they have what? See, there's the only thing you got to do. In John chapter 1, if you backed up the first of the chapter, John chapter 1 verse 12, do anybody know what it says? To them that received him, did what? Does that sound like the word he just said right there? To them that received him gave he power to be the sons of God. See? But what did you have to do? What was the word? Receive. Now what's that make you do? What did you do to receive? Just accept whatever God gives you. See? And the church world can't do that. Yeah, just whatever Father says, it's amen. Just do it. See? If he says to do something, you just do it and you don't question him. But first of all, you got to hear and know his voice before you're ever going to obey anything, or you'd be running around following like the church world does. and they have received and know truly that I came out from you, and they, cross out the word have, and they believe that you did send me. They put these extra words in there, and it really changes the context a lot. When it says they have believed, see, that was back then. What do I believe today? That's the only thing that counts. Where am I at today in my understanding with God? What I believed, I thank God I don't believe what I used to believe. Verse 9. I pray not for them, but I pray concerning. The word for is concerning. I pray concerning them. Them who? The ones that Father gave to him. He said, I pray for the ones that you gave me. Did he say he prayed for the whole world? Well, see, the church world tells you, pray for everybody. Sons of God only do one thing. They only pray for who God tells them to pray for. I don't go looking for a job. If I tried to pray for everybody called to pray, I wouldn't have time to do nothing but sit and pray. Pray for me. Aunt Sally's got a hangnail. Aunt Susie's got a bunion. That's foolishness. You want to pray for something, pray for God's will to come in their life. There's something you can pray about. If it's God's will, turn it loose on them. They probably won't like you for it, but that's okay. Because when God gets in your life, it's going to turn it upside down. What's that? Can you change what? Well, I don't think people have any will in it at all. So it's up to God. I don't think anybody can hear, because the Bible says very clearly, Bob, that God creates the hearing ear and the seeing eye. He's talking spiritually, because we all got these little protrusions on the side of our head that we hear naturally with, and we got eyeballs. That's not what he's talking about, but the ability to see what the Spirit is saying and hearing and saying, speaking and doing, to see this, it's a gift of God. See? And that's what the church world don't see. They think it's up to them to get people to see. Sure. Right.
Is that what it says?
Yes. But see, his will for one person is not the same as the other person. He's telling you right here, it's for a certain group of people right now. Okay, watch. I didn't pray the same will I prayed for somebody else. I prayed what God wants for that individual person. Okay. How can I be wrong in that? Because if one of them is supposed to be for destruction, and one of them is for a blessing and one for a cursing, what's that to me? I'm just saying God's will be done in their life. If I don't have a direct communication from God, I can't pray anything else. I get... Okay. He said, I am pray concerning them. And the next part of the verse says, I pray not concerning the world. Do you think he's talking about this globe we're standing on? What's this world represent? The rest of humanity. The rest of this humanity that's out here. He said, I'm not praying for them. I'm only praying for the ones you gave me. Because they are yours. Okay? See, God truly does own all of the world. He died for the whole world, didn't he? So guess what? They're his, but he doesn't have a call in their life right now. And that's what people can't understand. There's some people that cannot hear what we're talking about. I'm not talking in some foreign language. I'm talking English, and they can't understand what we're saying. Why? He hasn't given the time. He hasn't given the ability to hear yet. Okay? So it's okay. And the test for you is this. When someone in your family or friends that you try to share this truth with, this wonderful truth that's just turned your life upside down, they hate you for it. What did they do to Jesus? They loved him so much they hung him on a tree. I mean, come on. Do you think you're going to be treated any better? That's what all John 16 was full of it. He said they detest and hated me, and if they hate and detest you, it's not you they're hating, it's me, it's in you that they're hating. It's going to go on, see? If we don't know this, that's why he's telling us this, so we can see the pattern that he went through and know that we're not going to get treated any better. If we're getting treated any better, something tells me we're on the wrong side of the road. We're going the wrong direction if I'm too popular. So these people that's trying to get real famous and a lot of popularity, they're not even close to what God's doing. Not even close. And if you tell them that, they just get mad at you and prove it. Because if Christ was in them on the positive side and came alive, could they bite you like that? Could they be mean to you like that? See, God said in Ezekiel, I'm going to take your heart out, right? And I'm going to give you a new heart. Now, if he took the old thinking out and put the new thinking in, how could you go back and act like that again? Sounds like maybe somebody's got two thinking processes. James said, a double-minded man is what? Unstable in all their ways. Because there's a whole lot of people out here preaching and living their lives with two minds. They got the knowledge of good and evil and the tree of life both there, and they're trying to live off of both trees and it don't work. There's the problem. He says, I come to you, Holy Father. He said, keep not through but in your own nature. Keep them in your own nature. Did I start that verse out right? No. He says, first of all, he starts this, and now I am, or I exist, no more in the world. I'd love to be able to say that. I think I just will. I'm not in this world. In my mind, I'm not. I know that. I'm not in this world. But these are in the world. And I come to you, Holy Father. He said, keep in your own nature those whom you have given to me, that they, cross out the word may again, see, there's that maybe thing again, that they be one as we. And cross out the word are at the end because it ain't there either. It's added. So let me read it the way it should say. Verse 11, and now I exist no more in the world, but these are in the world, the ones that you gave me, they're in the world yet. And I come to you, Holy Father, he says, keep in your own nature, your own authority, your own name, those whom you have given to me, that they be one as we. Sure. Exactly what he wants, that's what he's going to get. The book says in multiple places that his plans and purposes will prevail. It's not up to us, is it? Did any of you ever get a phone call from God saying, what should I do today? If you do, let me know about it, because I'm following the wrong place if you're getting the calls, because I haven't got one yet. Yeah, I keep checking the caller ID, but it's not there. When I see God on there, y'all be in trouble then. Verse 12, while I was with them in the world, I kept them in your nature, your anoma. Those that thou gave me, I have kept, and none of them is lost except the son of destruction, that the scripture, what? Cross out that word might, so that the scripture be fulfilled, or shall be fulfilled. See, but it's not might. That's just a maybe. That's doubt in the word. So he says, while I was with them in the world, I kept them in your nature. Those that you gave me, I have kept, and none of them is lost except the son of perdition, that the scripture be fulfilled. Who do you think we're talking about? Sure, it's Judas. But wait a minute. There's something beyond that. We can't just stop there or we miss the point. He said the only thing that's going to be lost is just one. Son of destruction. Tell me who that is. It's your Adam nature. See? That's who Judas was. He was the natural man. Don't you know that Judas had a spirit? And the book says when you die, the flesh, the dust returns to the earth from where it came, and the spirit returns to God who gave it. So guess where Judas is? He's with God. See, every spirit has to go back to God. He's the one that gave them all. So we're only talking about this because this is in parabolic language, and he's trying to teach you that the only thing that you're going to lose in this world is your carnal thinking. Well, that ought to tickle you to death. No, I don't say death. I say tickle you to life. That ought to tickle you pink to know that you are going to lose this carnal way of thinking, whether you like it or not. Because like I said, did you get the call from God yet? He said his plan and purpose is going to prevail, and he had a plan set up before the foundation of the world. It's going to happen, isn't it? Well, then his plan is to get rid of you. Ain't going on to it no matter how much you try. There's been many tougher ones than you and me all put together that's tried to hang on to it. They've all went to the dust, and they're every one sitting at his feet right now. You can't win. He is. Okay, where am I at again? 12, 13. He said, now I come to you in the world. Now, who's he talking to now? He said, these things I come to you. He said, now I come to you, and these things I speak in the world. Who's he talking to? The ones Father has given to him. Okay, he's not talking to the Father. He's talking to you. He said, in order that they, cross out the word might again, in order that they have my joy fulfilled in themselves. He said, I'm coming to you, and I'm speaking these things to the ones that's in the world that you can have my joy fulfilled in yourselves. Now, what's the word joy mean? Most Pentecostal churches don't even know what this means. What is that? That's what that word joy means. See, I don't have to be acting like a banshee running around the room swinging off the fans and the chandeliers, do I? A calm delight. That means my emotions are absolutely in control. Jesus never lost control of his emotions. He had emotions. He wept. He had all kinds of emotions. He loved. That's emotion. But did his emotions ever control him? See, he never let his carnal thinking, his flesh, override what his purpose was that God sent him to do. And that's all he's trying to show you. Do what Father says. Don't listen to what that thing between your ears tells you, because it's a liar. John 8, 44, he says, you're of your father, the devil. He was a liar and a murderer from the beginning. He's not talking about a person. He's talking about the natural thinking process. It don't know anything but lie. You can take a little kid. How old is Joseph now? He's just starting to talk, isn't he? Just a little bit. If you took his pen and said, don't pick it up, laid it down right there in front of Joseph, what's the first thing he's going to do? He's going over and pick it up because you said don't do it. And he's got it right in his hand when you see him and say, didn't I tell you not to pick it up? Yep. Why'd you pick it up? I didn't pick it up. Did you have to teach that to him? Why? Because it's already in there. It's one of them ites that's in the land from the very beginning. You don't have to teach a kid to lie. It's inherent in the natural mind. They lie naturally. They can have it right in their hand. Say, I didn't pick it up. They got it right in their hand. Haven't you seen them do it? I've seen lots of kids do it. You don't have to train them. And any of you think you didn't do the same thing, you're lying to yourselves. Because we all did it. Yeah, well, it's a possibility, but somewhere it popped out somewhere. Okay, where am I at now? 13. Oh, we finished that, okay. That calm delight be fulfilled in themselves. See, he wants you to have the same calm delight nature that he had. You know that, what's that thing they give you where they check your heart rate at the hospital? EKG, you know, where the spikes are going like this, you know, like you hope they're going that way. In the natural, you want them to go that way. But in the spirit, we want them to be a flat line. Because I don't want my emotions spiking, dropping or going up. I don't want to be depressed. I don't want to be. And you know what? Because I say I don't want to be, I don't have to be. Now, why did I say that? Look up in verse 2. And he says, as you have given them power over what? Well, if I got power over my flesh, how can my flesh tell me I'm depressed? Hello? Who has the power here? He said, the sons of God have power over all flesh. Simple as that. Why can't we believe that? Because somebody told us back in some religious realm somewhere that we can't do that. This book says we can. I believe what this book says over what everybody else says. This book tells me the truth. Okay. I have given them thy word, and the world has hated them. Hello. If you're carrying the word of God, what's your destiny? To be hated by the world. See? And that's church world too. Don't think it's just people out there in the world. People that don't go to church don't care what you say. You can say anything you want to in church. People that don't go to church don't even care. The only ones that will be offended is church people. When you say something that contradicts what they have banked their ticket on flying away someday. And when you come by and destroy their devil, their hell, you have just burned them up. And they're going to hate you for it. They're absolutely going to hate you for it. It's okay. He's telling you this ahead of time. He said, I've given them your word, and the world has hated them because they are not of the world, even as I am not of the world. You know what they call people that are not of this world? Aliens. Paul said, we are aliens and sojourners in the land. We're just passing through. This ain't my place. I'm just here doing what I got to do. And that's the way you have to look at this life. We're just passing through. This is not my realm. This is not where I am supposed to be. I live in the heavenly realm. And Paul said it very clearly, not that someday we'll fly up into heaven. What did he say? You are, present tense, you are seated in heavenly places. Are seated, present tense. Verse 15, I pray not that you should take them out of the world, but that you should keep them from the evil. Boy, there's a mouthful right here. The world's wanting to fly away. The church world wants to fly away in a rapture, don't they? He says, but I pray not that you should take them out of the world, but that you should keep or guard them from what? Tell me what it says. Tell me what that says. What does it say? No, there's another word in front of it you missed. No. Look what it says in front of it. The evil. The is a definite article. So it's pointing to the very highest evil there is. You hear what I'm saying? What's Jeremiah 17:9 say? The heart of man is desperately wicked and evil above all things. So guess what he said protect them from? Themselves. Protect them from their own natural thinking. That's what he's telling you here. He said, I don't want you to take them out of the world, but you should keep them from the evil one. The Greek word here is poneros, 4190 in the Greek dictionary. All you have to do is look it up. It's the evil one. It's not some devil with a horn and pitchforks and a forked tail and a red flannel suit. That's not what he's talking about. He's talking about this thing between our ears. Jesus was tempted in all ways as we are. Well, how are you tempted? How are you tempted, Tom? Right in your mind. When you begin to reason in your mind, there's where the trouble comes. Go back to Genesis chapter 3. There would have been no problem if Eve hadn't have been thinking with that serpent. And that serpent was that thing right there. It wasn't a snake in a tree. It was right there. And she began to reason. There was the problem. And it wasn't talking about a woman. It was talking about your soul, your soulish realm. Your emotions began to reason with things. Isaiah said something about reasoning. Do you remember what it said? He said, come, let us reason together. Do you really think that's what it says? How about this? Be reasonable, see it my way. You think God wants us to reason with Him? He wants us to be reasonable, see it His way. He's the boss. Anybody doubts that? Go take it to the boss and see. Because I guarantee He has the horsepower to back up anything He says. You don't have to reason it. You already know it. Look at verse 16. They are not of the world, even as I am not of the world. You know what I put a caption in over that verse in my Bible? I'm just like my big brother. Well, I am. Aren't you supposed to be like him? Huh? So why can't we say something like that? He's my big brother, isn't he? The book says he's our elder brother. So if he's my big brother, I want to be just like my big brother. I want to be as calm as he is. I don't want to be up and down. I'm not going to be. See? But the only reason I can do that is because I have convinced myself. In Romans it says this, faith comes from what? Hearing. King James says faith comes from hearing and hearing from the Word of God. We unscramble all that King James mess and it says faith comes from hearing the Word of God. Well, a long time ago, I read a verse in Matthew 24:24 that said, if it were possible, even the very elect should be deceived. If it were possible. That means it's not possible. Only the very elect are the ones that's not going to be deceived. So that tells me there's about 90% that's going to be deceived. And I said, right then and there, I got to know one way or the other. Because if I'm in this route that I'm going in now, then I'm not going to waste my time if I'm going to be deceived. I'm not going to be part of that side. If I'm going to be deceived, I'm going to go out there in the world and raise hell just like everybody else. I'm not going to come here and play hypocrite. And I said, I got to know. And I heard three words from God. You know what they are, Tom? Know my word. The only way you can be sure of what's going on is know what God said. If you know this written word, anytime anybody says anything to you concerning Scripture, if you know this word, not King James translation, not any other translation, but what God said in the Spirit, you know what you'll tell them? Immediately you'll judge the word they speak. It's not of God, or it's of God. Instantly you can tell. I don't know every word in that book in my understanding, in my conscious understanding. In my spirit I do, and so do you. But you know what? There's people say things to me, and as soon as they say it, my spirit lets me know immediately if that's of God or not. And some people get upset, but you know what? It's never failed one time in 15 years. It's an infallible guidance system in you. Okay? If you follow what that spirit says. If you know this word, you cannot be deceived. Did God lie? Okay? I used to stand in awe of men and women of God. And I'd stand in awe of one if I could find one. That was kind of a funny but sad, it's true. I used to have a lot of respect for a lot of men and women because I saw them as being superior to me. And at the time when I met these men and women and if that's God's call for them to be in that realm, that's not my call to take them and change them or to knock them down or anything else. But I see so many men and women of God go so far and they pitch their tent. And they're no longer traveling in the kingdom of God. They're no longer sojourners in this land. They put down their stakes and they're staying. And I'm not talking about building a house. I'm talking about in their mind. They only go so far. Because when you get out there so far, you're on the limb by yourself. And everybody in the system wants to cut the limb off for you while you're out there on the end. And you don't get as much money. And that drags a lot of people back the other way, you know, the finances. And I feel sorry for them, but I wouldn't trade what God's given me for all the money in the world, all of anything in the world. I wouldn't take it for it. So you got to know in your heart that Jesus was your older brother. Tom, you're an older brother, ain't you? You're the oldest brother. Are you any better than any of your brothers? Mm-hmm. Same thing, ain't it? Come from the same stock. And that's the same thing Jesus is trying to teach us. You've got an older brother, haven't you? Oh, you're the older brother too. Are you the older brother? Are you? You're the older brother too. Or your brother's older than you. You're the baby. Okay, well, you'll work there. You'll work. See? But your older brother's no better than you, is he? He's just your older brother. He came first. And see, someone has to come first. Everybody can't come at the same time. And according to this book, every man comes in his own order. That's what it says. Okay? But you got to get this in your head. If you don't believe that you're... Jesus, same stock. If you don't believe that, you'll never truly be a son of God. Not in this life. You got to know that you're no different from him. If Jesus come thinking he was inferior, do you think he could ever accomplish what he did? You can't walk around with this low self-esteem and condemnation and guilt on you saying, oh, I can't do that. People might think bad about me. Guarantee you they're going to. He said they're going to lie about you, say all manner of evil about you. They're going to persecute you, detest you, and hate you. Now, how many want to volunteer for that trip? Well, you don't have a choice when he calls you anyway. But if you know it's going to come, he'll know that you'll be prepared when it comes. It won't be a shock. So when people start patting you on the back, the best thing you better do is turn around and see if they got a knife in their hand. Because that's what they're really doing. If they're patting you on the back, you're doing something wrong. You're doing something wrong. You don't have to do anything bad. Just do what you're supposed to, and it'll make them mad enough to do you in. Verse 17. Sanctify them through your truth. The word sanctify them literally says make them holy in your truth. Not through. Make them holy in your truth. Your word is truth. How are we truly born again? How are we cleansed? We're born again, not by coming to a board and crying and slobbering. 1 Peter 1:23 says, you're born again, not of a corruptible seed, but of an incorruptible seed, which is the Word of God. So how are you born again? By the Word of God. How are you cleansed and made holy? By the Word of God. Jesus said in John 15, you are clean through the words I've spoken to you. Hello? What makes you clean? It doesn't take a preacher standing preaching at you and yelling and screaming at you. You got to hear the Word of God. Now, it's not the words that come out of my mouth. It's the words that's in your heart. There's where it comes from. When you hear the Word of God, don't hear what I say. Hear what the Spirit of God says inside of you. There's what sets you free. If you continue in my Word, you'll be my disciples indeed. And you shall know the, what? The truth. And the truth that you know will make you free. Okay? How many of you want to be free? I'm so free I scare people. I can't help it. I've been told by so many people I intimidate them. Well, what? Because I speak truth? What's wrong with that? I'm not going to change it just because they get intimidated, believe me. They're just going to have to be intimidated. I don't try to intimidate anybody. But I'm going to speak the truth that I know. If they have the right to say the lies and all the hypocrisy and all the traditions of men, why can't I speak truth? I can, and I will, until Father shuts me up, because they'll never get me shut. I guarantee you that. Okay. But your word is truth. Even as you sent me into the world, even so have I also sent them into the world. Now, did anybody volunteer for that? What did he say? I sent them. Apostello. I sent them. And for their sakes, I sanctify myself, or literally, make myself holy, that they also, and cross out that word might again, that they also be sanctified or made holy through the truth. How are you going to be made holy? I hear people say all the time, well, I believe in holiness, but they don't read their word. They don't study their word. Well, how are you going to be holy? Because the only thing going to make you holy is the Word of God. It's not reading the Word of God, but it's knowing the Word of God. Do you hear me? And did he say back here in verse 2 that they needed eternal life? And this is eternal life, verse 3. That they know you. God is His Word, isn't He? Isn't that Him? His Word is Him. It's His nature, it's His character, it's everything about Him, His very essence, is His truth. Neither pray I for these alone. Now he's going a little farther. He said, I'm not just praying for the 12 we're talking about earlier, but for them also which, and there's that stinking word again, shall, might, maybe. Okay, cross out the word shall. I pray for them also which believe, not on, but it's the Greek word eis, into. Believe into me through their word. So he's saying the disciples that I sent, when they speak truth by the Spirit of God, anyone that believes there the same way, he said, I'm praying for the same ones. So you know who got to you? The disciples. Well, that was thousands of years ago. Yeah, I know. It's been passed through a lot of hands, hadn't it? Pay it forward. There's a good one. In order that they all, there's that may again, you can cross out again. See, all this stuff puts it futuristic or maybe, or there's doubt involved in all of it. So it says that they all be one as you, Father, in me. The word art shouldn't be there either. That they all be one as you, Father, are in me and I in you, that they also, cross out may again, that they also be one in us, that the world, and there cross that out may again, that the world believe that you have sent me. Now I'll read it the right way all the way through. That they all be one as you, Father, in me, and I in you, that they also be one in us, that the world believe that you have sent me. And the glory which you gave me, I have given them, in order that they, cross out that next word, may, in order that they be one, just as we are one. Now, we're not talking about everybody coming into this great big seething mass of humanity. We're talking about being one with God by His thinking process. Didn't He tell us to put on the mind of Christ? The mind of Christ is the mind of who? Mind of the Father. Jesus had the mind of the Father. That's exactly what we're destined to do, put on the mind of Christ. Paul even made this statement, we have the mind of Christ. Didn't say you're going to get it. He said, we have it. And he said that a couple thousand years ago. And the sons of God do have the mind of Christ. Verse 23, I in them and you in me, in order that they, cross out that word may, in order that they be perfect, cross out the word made too. The may and the made both should be crossed out in that verse. Perfect or complete in one. And in order that the world, cross out that word may, in order that the world know that you have sent me, and cross out the word hast, because it's not there, and love, cross the D off the end of it because it's a present tense word, not a futuristic tense or past tense, as, and love them just as you, cross out that word hast, love, period, just as you love me. The D on the end of it don't need to be there. It's all added. These people were trying to do good, but they messed some things up. Verse 24, Father, I desire, not will, but I desire that they also, whom you gave me, gave to me, the word hast there should be crossed out again in verse 24, be with or in the midst of me where I am, in order that they may, cross that may out, in order that they behold my glory. Is it maybe you're going to see his glory, or are you going to see it? It's going to see it. There's no doubt about it. Which you gave to me because you did what? Loved me. Because you loved me. Cross the ST off of that word love. That's King James language. Because you loved me before the what? The word foundation here is the conception of the world. He's saying, I was before the conception of the world. The word foundation here is the word conception is the primary word that comes out of that word. The word foundation is not even in the language. That's just another translation thing he threw in. But the word conception changes things. See, God conceived something in his mind first. He said before he ever conceived the world, he loved him. If you think about this, and if you can believe that God loved you unconditionally before he ever even thought in the world, thought about bringing forth this world, how much love would that be? Can you even conceive it? That he loved you before that, knew you was going to make a royal mess out of your life? And he said, that's all right. I like straightening things out. It was a royal mess, I guarantee you. See, but he knew that before it ever started. And that's why the book says this, that Jesus was the lamb that was slain when? Before the conception. Before you ever made a mistake, God already gave you the solution. He said, I know they're going to screw up, so let's go ahead and get this thing over with. So when they come, there's no doubt about it. It's already a done deal. And what was the last thing he said? It's finished. And he said right there in verse 4, I have glorified you on the earth, and I have finished the work that you gave me to do. How can we go wrong? Oh my. 25. O righteous Father, the world does not know you. The world does not know you. Hello. The world does not know God. But I, cross out the word have known, it should be I know you. And these, the ones that he gave me, he said, these know that you sent me. They got all kinds of added words in here. And it really changes the context of everything. Let me read it the way it should say. O righteous Father, the world does not know you, but I know you, and these, the ones we're talking about, he gave him, they know that you sent me. And I declared to them your nature, your character, and will declare it, in order that the love wherewith you love me, not has, that should be crossed off too, but you love me, be in them, and I in them. Is there anything in here about God wanting to send somebody to hell? I missed it too. See? It's just like a big corporation. If there's a large corporation going to start, let's just say for a round figure, they're going to hire 10,000 people. And they're going to take 2,000 people for supervision. And 8,000 people are going to be the laborers in the factory. Who's going to be hired first? The salary people. Why would they hire the salary first? So they can take the thinking process from the man who has started this whole thing and get that thought process of his purpose and desire in his factory into the leadership, just like God is doing with his sons. He's taking the leadership and teaching them so they can teach the rest of the world what his purpose is. And that's what the companies do. They go out. They don't go out and hire the labor force before they ever get their supervision trained. And that's exactly what God's doing. And God is not trying to bring in the whole world. He's already taken care of the whole world. All he's doing right now is training his supervision, his sons. Because his sons, he says, and according to this book, they will live, rule, and reign with me, and they will sit on my throne. First fruit, absolutely. It's that simple. And the church has tried to put the buggy in front of the horse. God's not in a hurry. I think he said, be still and know that I'm God. Just be quiet. And that'd be the greatest thing a church world ever do, or any church in you would ever do. Just be quiet and hear God. Guess what? It'd be great. It'll be wonderful. I'm done.